We haven't joined talking about fine. Pizza.
We're just talking about pizza.
I know.
Everybody loves pizza.
Should have been here for us talking about pineapples on pizza last night.
Oh, I'm okay with pineapples.
Yeah.
But onions is being pizza. Cheap.
So the stage is going to come through. We're getting a delay. So the questions that people can ask them in the chat.
Hey, we're live.
One.
Yay.
Hi, everyone. I can see you now.
All right.
And so I'll hand it over and I'll read out the questions if you want. So go ahead. Whoever.
Wow.
Right.
Does anyone want to take
delay?
Or do you want to?
Yes, there's a delay.
Yeah.
Well, it's speed of light is not fast enough.
No, it's copper wire.
So, Gerald, did you want to start off with a presentation, or did someone else want to take that?
Well, I wasn't sure whether you make a presentation.
No slides, but I wasn't sure whether you would say one or two wise words, or we just dive in.
I'm
okay.
Let's... Now we're not working for me.
You're done, and your job is to send out T-shirts.
Discrimination. Well,
talk to people.
Well, welcome everyone to the board session on behalf of the board and OpenSUSE. This, unfortunately, is our second event in a row, as in the annual OpenSUSE conference that we all have to sit in front of. Screens smaller or larger. I think Simon has a bigger one. Mine is just 14 inch right now. But also nicer, all the nicer to connect. And before we dive into the board part, I wanted just to say a big thank you. Big thank you to everyone who helped put this together, to organize, to speak, present, engage, listen. I mean, support in any way, you know, packaging some of the software, running some of the infrastructure that powers the conference, contributing to OpenSUSE over the years, being a user, even filing bug reports, everything. It's really nice to have this community. This is a non-slide presentation. There's so much screen time, there are so many slides that we just want to focus on the talk track. And before we dive in, let's welcome some of the new board members in alphabetical order, Hyatjan or Nurft, or however you pronounce that, was elected in the last elections to join the board again. Want to briefly introduce yourself?
Okay, I'm Gert-Jan. Listen to that pretty well, Gerald. Gert-Jan, a.k.a. Knurft. I'm pretty much everywhere. I'm in the board. I'm still a forums admin, though. I've become less active because life happened and work happened. I'm pretty active on the channels that we have on Discord, Telegram, Matrix, stuff like that. And what I really like is that we have managed to engage some younger people. They engage their friends, and we've seen it happen in the bar sessions that we have. I'm also a co-founder of the bar, by the way. That's what I do, and I live in Groningen, Netherlands.
You're muted, by the way.
Gerald, you're muted.
I am muted. Yeah, the other one who joined in the last elections is Neil, who every single board meeting is a strong testament of his dedication to OpenSUSE, because for him it's super very early morning.
Right, yes. So my name is Neil Gompa. I've become a member of the board since January. And my dedication shows in that I wind up joining board meetings before I even get to do anything else, including eating breakfast, because it is 7 o'clock in the morning my time when that happens, and I'm usually waking up literally 30 minutes beforehand, so I don't even have time to do much of anything other than clean up for the meeting. But yeah, so within OpenSUSE, I'm involved in the Heroes team, running a lot of the infrastructure, helping with improving the quality of our services. So for example, OpenSUSE Code, the Pagger instance we have at code.opensuse.org, that's something that Sasi Olin and myself run. We do a fair bit around, you know, packaging and improving the infrastructure and tools in the distribution. And I do a lot of, I want to say random, but not exactly random, like a wide variety of things across the entire spectrum of OpenSUSE, from the software stack at the bottom for software management to graphical desktop tooling and stuff at the top, to try to make the OpenSUSE experience the best that it can be and try to help engage, bring OpenSUSE to the wider community mindset of the open source world, to make us more prominent, more visible, and more active and engaged, rather than like kind of sitting in a corner where nobody really hears about us. So like that's kind of what I try to aim and focus on.
Cool. And then there's also Sitz, who joined us. Sitz didn't come in through the election, but joined the board as a treasurer. So he's a co-opted board member.
Yeah, so a non-voting board member, as some people like to point out sometimes.
But I love you anyway.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear. But yeah, so I'm 35. I've been a financial controller or financial accountant as well for like 15 years now, working as an auditor, first like auditing financial statements. And then I worked for Tele2 as a financial controller, and then I worked for Nove Media, which is the postcode lotteries in the Netherlands. And now I'm a freelance financial controller. People can just hire me. And one of the things that I really enjoy, like in my free time, is actually working, or not really working, but I'm like spending time on open source and just computer stuff. That's completely a hobby of mine. I've not studied for it. I'm not a programmer. I just like it. Within OpenSUSE, I really like the MicroS project. I'm a big believer of an immutable OS future. And I think that it's going to be used in loads of places. Like my daughter, who's 4-year-old, her laptop is a MicroS laptop that she can just install some software, 5 flatpaks, and she cannot do anything else on it. Except for turning it off and on again. I just like Gert-Jan, I live in Groningen. I am married, I have 2 kids. One is hopefully still sleeping at the moment. And the other one is just relaxing on the couch next to me, watching some TV. And I joined the board now as a treasurer, since financial stuff is sort of my skill. So I can help the board, and I can help OpenSUSE actually with something that I can actually help with or contribute with. So thanks for that.
Cool. And maybe a quick round of intros for the old board members, starting with Axel, who is old and new at the same time.
Yeah, that's true. Thank you, Gerald. Hi, I'm Axel. I was just recently re-elected for the second term on the board. I live in Düsseldorf. I have 2 kids, just to pick this up, where one of the kids still lives with me, and he just came down preparing a sandwich and made me feel hungry. I'm mostly packaging stuff, software that I think is useful, software that I'm using myself, and I'm more focusing on the desktop side of life. So I'm running Tumbleweed with the latest KDE desktop, and yeah, I'm really happy about it. I'm OpenSUSE member since the 2000s, I think, was already some time ago. And beside this, I'm mostly only active on the mailing list, so not so much on Discord or the forums, but nevertheless, I look into this every now and then. And in my daily life, I work as a business consultant, project manager, and with a focus on supply chain projects.
Then we have Simon.
I'm next. Okay. I'm Simon. I'm no longer the most dedicated member of the board. At one point, I had to get up at 5:30 a.m. for meetings. Now they're just after dinner, and that's far nicer. So thanks, Neil. Nice. I'm in Adelaide, Australia. I've been on the board for 3.5 years now. I package stuff in OpenSUSE, like the Enlightenment desktop. And I also work for SUSE as part of the packaging and maintenance and security side of things. And that's probably about it.
Cool. And last but not least, we for Vince.
Hey, I'm Vince.
Put your microphone up, please, Vince.
Can't hear you.
Is it better now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Hi, I'm Vince. I'm working at Tuxedo Computers as a product manager slash marketing slash whatever is to be done in technical stuff. And I kind of joined the board in around end of February last year, as I was not elected but appointed to an open seat. And since then, I'm serving on the board.
Cool. And I realized I didn't, Doug didn't introduce me and I didn't introduce myself.
I didn't finish it. I realize now after hearing everyone else talk, I didn't actually say anything else about what I do and who I am.
Yeah, everybody knows Geralt, so he doesn't have to introduce himself. Yeah.
Okay, I'm Geralt or Jerry or Gerald, CTO at SUSE and chair of this board. One thing as a board we have been thinking about, I would say a fair bit on and off over the last months, is how to improve transparency within OpenSUSE, how to, you know, what we from our side can do to help improve communications. And one of the things we realized is our board meetings might be a good approach. And so 12 days ago, we started with public board meetings. Given the time zone spread we have between mostly Simon, EMEA, Central EMEA, and US East Coast, the slot we found is pretty much to the only one that works without making anyone doing calls at 5 a.m. or past midnight. So unfortunately, there's not much flexibility there. But I was very positively surprised by the first public board meeting we had. It was a handful of people, but it was one of the more productive board meetings we had. And not only was it an opportunity to listen, we actually got really good interaction, got really good input. And I think the work we have been doing and some of the decisions and the conversations actually really, really benefited from that. So definitely something we're going to continue. Definitely something we are new to. So there is learning on our side, learning on the side of the board, learning on the side of the project. So we welcome feedback on how to make this more useful to you, how to make this more transparent, how to make this more open. And, you know, we'll make it better over time. And next one, an invitation, Neil is going to send out an email soon. Next one is this coming Monday, 1 p.m. Central European Time, 7 a.m. Eastern Daylight in the U.S. And past dinner in Australia. What is it in Adelaide, Simon?
If I press the mute button, I can talk. It's about 8:30.
Ah, okay. So that's really good. And one of the things, so that's one step we have taken. And another step we have started to look into and actually started to put into action is to make it easier to submit topics, to be more transparent on some of the most of the items, as many as possible that the board handles, just publicly. And for that, Neil actually has helped us move towards a cool new system that we are also evolving as we go. So that's another project that's actually started to deliver already, but we're also happy to receive feedback. And yeah, Neil, can you go into that a little bit and introduce folks to that?
Yeah, sure. So as I said, when I was introducing myself, one of the things that I wanted to do was, you know, make OpenSUSE more visible and that also includes two people in OpenSUSE. And something, as that had also dovetailed into my setting up the new CodeForge that we have for people to use to develop free software projects within the OpenSUSE project, I thought that it'd be a great idea to start using that so that we can give people an easy way to you know, talk to us about things that are not sensitive, so that we can, you know, not only do asynchronous communication that is easily tracked, and so we don't have to remember it in our heads, which was before this was actually a problem. Like, we had to remember what we were going to do and figure out all that stuff. Now we have, you know, something that we can refer to, but also because I wanted to make it so that we didn't have to come up with what we needed to talk about as a group. I wanted to make sure that the community could also be involved in this process as well. And so if you go to code.opensuse.org/board/tickets, you can see that we have a repo there with an issues tab where you can file an issue about something that you would like some feedback from the board on. And this may not necessarily turn into something that requires a meeting, but it certainly will turn into something where we can discuss this with the community in a structured, more visible form. And if it does require a meeting, like if it's something that we can't resolve in the ticket out of the gate, then we will mark it to be something for a meeting. And in our next public board meeting, we'll talk about it. And it's a very simple process up front. I wanted to keep it super lightweight so that, you know, because we're learning and we're figuring out how we want to do this. And as that evolves, we can implement more structures as needed or do more separations or whatever. But I wanted the on-ramp to be very, very simple. And I'm hoping what this does is it makes it, you know, more clear what the board actually does, what they can and can't do, and how we go about doing what we can do.
So I'm not sure if you can read the chat there, Neil, but Lubos said you should mention feature requests moving there as well.
Oh, yeah. So no, I can't read the chat because I'm on another computer, and Venulus is an annoying platform that requires a token to log in every time. And I don't have the token on this computer. Yeah, so something that came up during the OpenSUSE Leap 15.3 development, and I got hit with all the edge cases, so like I felt particularly in pain from this, was it was pretty hard to coordinate and figure out like what we needed to do. And I was fortunate enough to be in a semi-privileged position to be able to interface with, you know, lovely SUSE folks about it, but that, like, me being the only one doesn't scale. And the system that they're using makes it really difficult for everyone else to do it too. And so I'd been talking to Lubos for a few weeks now about the idea of leveraging the same process that we've been using for the board to actually adapt that to do the same kind of feature request handling for OpenSUSE Elite for 15.4, because while it might be small up front, what I actually honestly expect that as we can develop this process to help the community be more engaged in the development of OpenSUSE Elite, both SLE and Leap will benefit, and there will also just be more stuff. After a certain point, a wiki page is just not going to work. And like when you need to track feedback and iterations on what's going on and syncing things back and forth between SUSE internal and the public community and making sure everyone is on the same page, Lubos and I agreed that it'd be a good idea to try this for 15.4. So I set up code.opensuse.org/leap/features as a repository for doing exactly that. People can file feature requests about things that they need, whether it's for SLE or Leap. And then Lubos and I, along with other release managers, will make determinations based on whether it needs SUSE involvement for SLE components. And we will, you know, follow up and make sure that the community is supported to make their things that they want to do and provide an OpenSUSE Leap possible. We want to help make OpenSUSE Leap the best quality, stable, long-term supported enterprise Linux class distribution out there. With the latest and greatest KDE, of course.
I was going to look how this is going to end, like dramatic pause.
Yeah, it was a long word.
I was trying to come up with a word that describes exactly how I feel about OpenSUSE Leap, and it turns out there isn't just one. And so I just went with all of them.
You got the link the wrong way around. It's actually leap/leap/features.
Ah, I thought I said code/leap/features.
For everyone else, the link is already in the chat.
Oh, good. Sorry, I can't like just paste or type things because, again, wrong computer. And Venulist is dumb and does not let me just use login credentials or SSO.
That's why you use Synergy to copy and paste it between your computers.
If I had thought about that before I joined into this, I probably would have set that up. Thank you, Simon. I will remember that for the next time I am doing something like this again between two computers on a virtual platform that doesn't let me log in between two different computers with the same credentials.
Talking about which, one of the roles the board has to deal with, and that's not part of the public meetings, is conflict resolution. Thank you.
One of the other things the board is also very good at is going off topic and being sidetracked and driving our chairman nuts.
Yep.
Not that you would ever see any of that here. One of the thoughts, ideas that has come up that we have been working on a little, and I'll defer to Hyatian and Simon, is moderation, consistent moderation of across online channels.
Yeah. One of the things we concluded was that there was a pretty big discrepancy between, for example, the mailing lists, the forums, and our other online channels. Don't want to go into details that much, but one thing I can say is that the complaints that the board received were mostly about the mailing list, so we started talking about moderating them. And we actually did. And I think we haven't done it long enough to define some proper result of it. But I think that our guiding principles, our TNC, they should be across the community when we agree to that as a board. Feynman?
And to add to that, to also help with the consistency and for a bit of accountability so that the board has an understanding of what goes on, what we're looking at implementing. I'll say looking at because we discussed it last meeting and we haven't exactly figured it all out yet. And we have plenty of people to talk to about that, is getting everyone who's moderating a platform together in the same space, whether that's a forums or Discord or RC or mailing lists, so that we can all share information about who's being moderated, partly so that the board has an idea of how many people we're moderating over a year, other than obvious spam, and so we can see any discrepancies, and partly it'll help us detect any issues that might arise if we can see that someone's never had any action taken on the platform I moderate, but Neil has already given them 3 warnings on some other platform, then that's useful information for us to be able to share as a group of moderators. So if you moderate a platform, look forward to us getting in touch with you about that at some point soon once we figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. And like, this is also somewhat consistent with the strategy that as a project that we're trying to have, which is we want to make sure that regardless of which platform that you're communicating with the community on, whether it's Matrix, Discord, Telegram, or IRC, from the real-time perspective, or forums, or the mailing list from an asynchronous perspective, we want to make sure that those are relatively unified and consistent so that, you know, people who are, you know, talking to each other, there is no divide that makes it difficult for people to follow along with what's going on. And, you know, in the real-time chats, this is being also handled by bridging all of the communications channels together. Now, this is not complete. This is still in progress. Because we literally just got our Matrix server working like a couple of weeks ago. And we're trying to make sure that at least in the real-time side, we want to make sure that if you're on Matrix, you can talk to someone who's on Discord, who can talk to someone who's on Telegram without having to be in all 3 places at the same time. And this is also something that this unified moderation stuff that we haven't quite figured out how to do yet is supposed to help keep keep things according to our code of conduct and our guiding principles and the way that we want, you know, we want people to be friendly and awesome and have a lot of fun being part of the project and being part of the community.
And when I say we will figure it out, the we means not just the board, but some of the moderators as well, most likely.
Yeah. It's not just us, because like that, this is not an idea of being like totally top down on here. We are, before we even started considering this, we engaged with some of the moderators from the various platforms to figure out, you know, what is even feasible and whether the idea is even good. And the reason we're even moving forward with this is because they told us that this actually would be helpful for them too, to make it, you know, better and make the experience better. And we want this to be a nice place to be in.
Yeah, especially because we all think that, I personally had complaints from people being treated rude, and it means that we are losing users in such cases. And in a friendly environment, these new users that feel at home, that feel comfortable, they will pull in their friends. They will pull in their friends. And that's growth, especially these young people. They're the future of OpenSUSE and SUSE.
Yeah. And those people who become excited and love the community and love the project, they want to learn how to make it better, and they become contributors.
Yeah,
that's how I started.
I was just going to say, in a rare occurrence, people in the chat think you're actually too quiet.
Wait, what? I'm too quiet?
Volume, not quantity.
All right, let me, I'll fiddle with
as you. As you can tell, we actually do manage to have some fun on the board. I mean, there is loads of friendly joking usually going on in the meetings. And Neil said it, and I really want to emphasize, actually, I just looked it up to make sure I quote it properly. We want to have a lot of fun. And that's a literal quote from our guiding principles. And another one is, we are working together in a friendly manner. And I'm sure in most cases there is no bad intentions, but I've also seen the guiding principle sometimes used like as a weapon. And for me, the guiding principles should stand for something. And obviously, if you stand for, you need to push back on some things. You need to defend the freedom. You need to defend the safe space that you have. But I think sometimes, you know, smiling, thinking, is this really so important? Or is there another way of looking at this than my way or the way I have right now is a really good thing. And I, unfortunately, in the tool, I don't see whether he is on. But last year, I had lots of conversations with Christian, and Christian Boltz. And I can tell you, Christian is not something anyone can convince easily if he has a firm position. And I'm not someone you can convince easily if he has a firm position. But what I really appreciated and what I found really valuable is having this interest and interest to listen and understand. And then, you know, maybe take a step back and say, you know what, I still think this shade of green is nicer, but I can understand why you want that shade of green, and how can we put that together and, you know, do something that's checkers, or on Mondays we wear this shade and on Tuesday we wear that shade. Or frankly, that has happened, and that's what I really, because that's not easy, that's what I really appreciated in to use that example, conversation. Sometimes you realize you're wrong and say, you know, that wasn't, I missed something. And the reason I'm mentioning this is, interestingly enough, the conflict resolution in the last 2 years has actually shifted a bit on the board. Initially, there was mostly mailing lists, hence Linkless addressing this. But in the last months, I say, we started getting about once a month, complaints on code contributions, you know, on between reviewer and contributor, or between co-maintainers or so. And there we don't have a good approach yet. So let's see how that evolves. You know, I'm hoping it's not the beginning of a trend. I'm not hoping this is like a wave. But if any of you has interest and skills to see how we can actually put in place a group of people or something, the process to help navigate and mediate, and that might be one of the things that we will have to face as a group soon.
Yeah, something that about that particular topic, I think, you know, personally speaking, I think that one of the reasons why we're seeing this is because, as we, I think to some extent they were kind of always there, but it was more of which ones were louder and which ones were more of a problem. As we have started solving these problems and started working with, you know, the other members in our community to make sustainable solutions to handling this stuff, the frequency of this stuff has gone down. This makes me so happy. The frequency of the stuff that comes to us has gone way down, and we're able to tackle some of the other aspects of this too. You know, in some respects, we've never fully implemented our guiding principles in a way that makes it consistent and understandable to the community. when it comes to how we should work with each other and that sort of thing. And getting to that point where, you know, with this year of doom caused by, you know, a worldwide pandemic, I think it's just amplified that particular gap that we've had. And now that we've been solving it, things are starting to get better. I've noticed in the in a number of chats and a number of spaces that people are happier again, like communicating with each other and using and starting to want to contribute to OpenSUSE. And that is making me very happy, because I never liked seeing people leave because they felt like they were not able to be heard or not able to feel welcome or any of those sorts of things. And so, yeah, I don't have any more structured thoughts on this.
Hey, I just want to, like, you kind of hit on it, Neil. You know, Ben actually asked the question, you know, have you seen more an increase in the code of conduct? And you kind of like definitely hit onto that. So I just want to some of the questions. I know they're being answered, but I thought Attila brought up a really interesting one with that kind of relates to our panel yesterday, which was, you know, interconnecting all the communication channels, the newer aspect of mediating it. You know, the trolls tend to move out pretty quick and then they reappear somewhere else.
So something that has been an interesting side effect of us bridging the real-time chats and unifying the moderation control across Matrix, Telegram, and Discord was that we don't get people attempting to evade our bans anymore, because as soon as they try, they get whacked again anyway. And so people who act dishonorably in any of the chats, just they get pushed out fairly quickly, and it makes it so that it's not a problem. And in general, that has actually changed the balance of people who come in. Like, it used to be that we'd get people coming in saying, frankly, stupid things and stuff that's deliberately trollish or whatever. And then they would just hide in a corner, you know, pretend to be nice a little bit, and then do it again later and in another platform. So they would evade one platform, jump to another, and then come back and that sort of thing. With the real-time chats, nobody does that anymore because they can't. It doesn't work. We know that they're them. We know what's happening, and it gets shut down very quickly. So even spam attacks are basically dead.
To add, Neil, over time we have gotten together a pretty nice team of admins, moderators, etc., all over the world. So there's pretty basically always someone there that can moderate.
Yeah, I think the only platform where we have a true gap here is IRC, and that's been complicated by recent events that has made this difficult. And Simon, you're muted.
I was going to say, in some ways, the recent events have actually fixed it.
That's true.
And we now do have a better spread of moderators. Partly because I'm now one in the time zones where no one else is awake.
Right. Yeah, the spammers on IRC that show up at midnight my time, where there's no coverage, is now covered by Simon. So
lucky me.
Maybe people are also getting happier now with COVID being over, or
that's also
like getting over, and summer coming and stuff. But I don't know.
Oh, that could absolutely be a factor. Like,
yeah.
When you're,
but it's winter and rainy here.
Yeah, well, I'm sweating now. So.
I don't think COVID has anything to do with it.
No, I meant like the lockdowns, people being locked up and getting annoyed with not being able to go anywhere.
Yeah.
It makes
to answer Bane's question, have you seen an increase and how have you dealt with it maybe before before we covered the last topic we had prepared and then completely open up? Yeah, we have seen that, and I mean, what? And I'm not claiming there's a causal relationship. There is a very clear temporal relationship. I'm often accused as erring on the side of softness. I'm usually trying to balance and mediate. But there was one board meeting end of last year where I started the meeting and say, okay, everyone, enough is enough. We need to take strong action. And that may have been the one board meeting where most warnings and moderations, etc., there were more issued than I think than the year before. I mean, it still wasn't a huge number, but I think maybe sometimes becoming a little stricter and sending a signal can help. Yeah.
Maybe to add one word, when we're having conflicts and we're trying to moderate, we try to hear both sides and then talk to the people. Try to get a moderated discussion between the individuals involved. Unfortunately, we found out that this is not working in all cases because sometimes people just refuse to talk. And if somebody from the community has an idea how we can cope with that, I think that would be very much welcome as well, right? Because I mean, we can only hear help if the people are willing to listen to the other one and to pick the information up and to think about their own behavior. But if they're completely rejecting to talk and saying, hey, this is my stake, my point, and I'm not moving, what do we do?
With that pause, I don't think we really mentioned, but go ahead and if you have questions, please put them in the chat on stage one.
Mm. Now I don't really know how to bridge.
But continue on, Georg. Continue on.
I can just start talking.
Let's end on a happy note, which is budget.
Yay, money.
Maybe we can take one thing along as a last subject, because Lubos asks us to talk about collaboration with other distros.
I just moderated towards SIDS to talk about budget.
Yeah.
Last topic we had prepared.
Let's have SIDS talk about budget, and then
you mentioned Christian already. One more thing.
Oh boy.
And then another three subjects. No, go ahead, Gerald.
No, SIDS has the stage.
I started the board, or I joined the board because I wanted to help as a treasurer and to actually help with the financial side of the project, mainly as well because of I figured something with a foundation would be a good idea, and with the foundation it's probably also very useful to have someone that like has some sense of actual like financial statements, of reporting of tax filings and stuff. But that's not the only thing that a treasurer does, of course, because like everything else just continues that was there before, like the travel support program. Last year, we didn't really have any travel support, so that was kind of easy for me to start with. And starting also as a liaison sort of between SUSE and OpenSUSE, I've been trying to talk to people. I've spoken to Andrew about what he was doing. I've spoken to a few more people like Doug, and I'm just trying to get a sense of everything that is happening financially with the project and how sort of OpenSUSE and SUSE are intertwined and what we can actually sort of start to do to even make a foundation, if that's like actually financially possible. So that's sort of what I've been doing. That's what I wanted to say about it. I don't know if anyone has any questions about it in a few minutes.
Okay, cool.
So before we go further, we had a half item on the topic and someone's asked a question about the foundation. So I guess that means I get to talk about it. Basically, the status on the foundation is not much has changed since we made the proposal at the conference several years ago. As people would be well aware, SUSE management has completely changed a couple of times. And so we're basically at the point where we need some people to sit down and write a business case to a large extent financially about what we need, how it will save SUSE money, which it should do, and stuff like that, so we can start to present that to the new SUSE management and make a really compelling case. That is something I'm happy to work on at some point when I get time. I don't know quite when that is yet. Hopefully soon. But if others would like to work on that as well, get in touch and we'll see what we can do.
You meant probably others outside the board, because we have already started and prepared a basic presentation about it. And just thinking loud, if we're not moving forward with the foundation, which needs a certain involvement of SUSE as well, maybe it's an idea to start with a kind of supporting organization. What do I know? The GECO Association or something like that, which is dedicated to support the Open SUSE project, but is not a foundation in that case, but could be a much lighter thing. Many schools in Germany have these kind of supporting associations. So when your kids enter the school, they ask you, won't you join this association? Then they're collecting money and giving this to the schools to buy stuff that they are not able from the budget that they're getting from the government.
Yeah, and that's also kind of a thing in the United States as well. There's a specific class of charities that is designed for clubs and associations to be able to handle that sort of thing. My personal opinion about having a foundation or a charity organization supporting it or owning the Open SUSE project is I really would like for us to behave more like we are that way before we actually are, because that's it's a lot less dangerous to make mistakes when you don't have that legal structure underneath you up front. And so, I want to make sure we have those practices developed and things like that before we make that jump, because I don't want to get that wrong.
So before we did our last foundation related proposal, probably a year before that, which would have been before, I think everyone other than NERFT was on the board, we did look at that, and the conclusion we came to was it wasn't really feasible in that capacity, and we should either pursue a full-fledged foundation, or we're not going to get benefits that outweigh the risks from the other one.
We changed it, or we shifted the focus a little bit. The idea at that point was to build an EV, an eingetragener Verein, as we call it in Germany, and to transfer all the trademark and everything to this foundation.
This was before that. We looked at the idea you just proposed as well. Would have been before you're on the board. Future discussions anyway.
Of what mechanism of implementing a legal structure for the Open SUSE project, I personally am not comfortable with the idea of doing so until we've done practice rounds where we actually behave like we have one before we actually have one. Like, it was important that we got SIDS on the board, and actually, you know, being our treasurer and actually participating as a non-voting board member to me, because it means that we are at least more closely getting set up to be able to handle things properly before we actually have to.
So one of the key things that's always come up in this discussion is, it's great that we now have SIDS, but if in 10 years' time we don't have SIDS and we're not doing our reporting, then the legal fines we could get for not meeting our reporting would be enough to completely sink the project. And so one thing that we've always maintained strongly in our previous proposals is that we would like SUSE to help sponsor OpenSUSE by means of helping to cover some of that paperwork, in which case it becomes a non-issue for anyone. We have a guarantee that we're going to meet our legal reporting requirements because SUSE would provide resources to do that. And that's obviously one of the things that if we come up with any sort of business case for a foundation, we need to be showing that there is large benefits to a foundation that offset that cost. And that cost would and one of the things we looked at with the smaller organizations is, even though smaller organizations require some level of paperwork and would inherently have that risk.
That's right.
We're probably, as Gerald would say, we're probably now discussing detailed semantics of stuff that's doesn't need to be discussed in detail in a board meeting at this point. Which is the other thing we do, along with getting sidetracked all the time.
Yeah, we get into the details far more than we probably should, which makes our
happens quickly.
At least we've stopped taking 3-hour meetings for a 1-hour time slot. So there's that.
So speaking of running over time, just to let you know,
we
can continue as we're not over time, but continue as long as the next speaker comes in. So can continue as long as you want.
I was going to suggest that maybe this is a good time for us to move into the Q&A stage to make it easier for anyone else who wants to ask us questions. I can't see anything else popping up in the chat.
Hertan mentioned that someone had actually asked for us to talk about a collaboration topic earlier. So I guess that would be good to start back up with. Yeah. So what was the topic in particular, Hertan?
Let me read up the question. Ben asked, Lobos asked, by the way, one thing that I forgot to Gerald when he was asking for topics was collab with other distributions. Ben started distroleaders.club, which I think is a pretty cool idea. What's your thoughts? I've been doing a lot of hanging around with Fedora guys. That sort of happened thanks to Neil. But I found that, we discuss issues a lot in the bar and on the chat channels, issues that both communities meet. And we also think that from a perspective that we have in our guiding principles, why not be nice to other distributions and cooperate? Why have teams on both sides working on the same upstream bug? If we could find a way, and it will take time to get it more coordinated. I know there's the political issue that it would be also SUSE and Red Hat cooperating, maybe, but the thought, why do the work all over again and cooperate? We can learn from, in my opinion, their organizational structure. And the people from Fedora admit that we have a lot of tools that they could learn from, that we do stuff in a way that they could do better. So
I guess I could say that in my role as part of SUSE, I see that in some areas we do this really well already, but more so on the SUSE side, especially with regards to security issues. We do a good job of working with other distros to have fixes for issues before you even know there are issues. So in that space where the collaboration is most important, there already is a lot, but there are certainly plenty of other places where we can learn. Or as I'm not sure if it's an Australian saying, but we should definitely be shamelessly stealing ideas from other people.
It's an American saying as well, for sure.
Good ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, I think I think this collaboration actually happens already, and I love to see that. And it's at different levels. In some cases, it's one person who's you know, one foot here, one foot there. I mean, Ben, if you ever meet, I'll ask you whether Neil, when he talks with you, starts every third question with "In OpenSUSE, we do," because that sometimes. Sometimes he's a run where he says, in Fedora, we do. But it's good because that's actually bridging, that sharing. Hey, I've seen this here and it works. I mean, the other model
so is... So often there. I have my Fedora hat for such cases.
you know, learning.
If you look at mailing list posts on the Fedora mailing list, I mention OpenSUSE a lot. I mention it comes up a lot where I basically hammer like some of our tooling and processes around this stuff just kind of sucks. And these problems are very well solved in OpenSUSE. Why can't we do stuff like it there here? Because it's just, I'm spoiled now. I don't want to have to do the crap work all the time anymore.
And also in the bug reports, like it doesn't work in OpenSUSE. Fix it now, please.
So I think it's there where individuals cross and are, you know, have anchors, feet, roots in more than one community. Other models I've seen work very nicely is, I know that from the toolchain people, because I've been engaging in GCC for like a long time. It's just for the red and green or blue and green people to work together. So, I mean, one does the SUSE side, one does the Fedora side, and, you know, using the new version of GCC and 229 packages break. But sitting here and sitting there, you work together, right? And you don't care. It's just we work together on the joint project. And there is at the project level. And so one thing that because I was not involved, so I can't take any credit as much as this is something to really take credit and give kudos to whoever did, is the mutual sponsoring and this relationship that Fedora and OpenSUSE have, right? I mean, that's the first time I saw it. It's like, isn't this a little odd? And then actually, no, because there is so much commonality. And I don't know. I mean, Doug is instrumental, I'm sure, or has been in that. And
Doug is amazing.
Keeping that. And that's, you know, this thinking a little out of the box and out of like, this is my territory and everyone else go away. That goes great lengths. And yeah, I'm totally open. Let's do more of that. It's nice to have this identity, right? In a relationship, in a partnership, whatever, doesn't mean you become the other. There is things that Fedora will be differentiate Fedora positively, and hopefully there are things that will keep to differentiate OpenSUSE positively, and that's fine.
We have a cool mascot. There is no mascot for Fedora, sadly. Despite everyone's best efforts, we have a cool mascot and they don't.
And then have this, I think, have this friendly competition where you have differentiation, but you also, you know, when you see something works well, work together. And I think this together and apart in a constructive manner. I mean, that's great. That is really, I think, one of the strong points of open source.
One of the good things about the two communities for Fedora and OpenSUSE is that I've met quite some people from Fedora, and I joined their release party, etc. And I never met one single person that objected against Neil being a board member of OpenSUSE. Not one single. So apparently nobody cares. I've seen that differently in other communities.
So have I. Oh my gosh. You know, it's not just Fedora and OpenSUSE. I'm in a number of other distributions. Fedora and OpenSUSE have a level of cooperation and friendliness that I have not experienced in other communities, and that has made it a lot easier for me to bring all the interesting things that I come up with, regardless of where it starts from, whether it's in Fedora or OpenSUSE, and bring it to both. And in other places, it's more difficult, and it makes me sad sometimes, because, you know, at the end of the day, what we're trying to do is to promote free software and to make it the default choice, whether you're just working, whether you're playing, whether you're living, whatever you're doing. And in order to make free software successful, we have to work together to produce the best free software. And I don't know how else we would do it unless we, like, certainly there's going to be some duplicative effort, but that effort can actually be useful because some of the other perspectives can see some of the other paths that are being tried, see whether they work or they don't, and eventually we can resolve to a common path. But being able to experiment, to be able to try these different paths and then see where they fail and where they succeed, is ultimately how we can also help in collaboration.
Real quick thing, I wanted to go to Patrick. I know Simon, you've been responding a bit to Patrick's comments in there. He does bring up a valid point, and you do as well. Like, there is a system in place to, like, keep the knowledge and share the knowledge, but, you know, what's the succession plan? I think that could be probably something that could be part of the elections, something to list. But yeah, I mean,
I guess I can talk on that slightly, because I already answered in chat, so I'll answer here what I said in chat for people that aren't reading it. One of the questions was, how do we train new board members? And so as part of the design of the board, as outlined in our election rules, everyone has two terms, and after their two terms, they have to have a break, which means that we always end up with some older, more experienced people, such as myself, sitting on the board alongside some newer people such as Neil. But we have, particularly when Gerald joined, because when Gerald joined, we discovered that Richard, as the previous chairperson, also held a lot of that knowledge, and previous boards probably hadn't done the best at writing that down. So Gerald has helpfully started to create a wiki page with such knowledge and important information to make that process easier. But probably around election time, we could do a better job of explaining what the actual role on the board is and what we're mostly doing, so that we help get the best candidates, which at times certain people have tried to do. There have been times when people have run for the board on a campaign of, I want to achieve this and this for the community and this and that, and people have been able to say, well, that's generally not what the role of the board is. We more focus on this and that. But I think it's probably something we can communicate better leading into elections, what our role is and what we're doing most of the time.
I would say something like, what is the succession plan, or something to that effect, to be addressed, you know, as a common thing that could go forward. if you understand what I mean by that.
Yeah, we can.
Now that we have a new system, I can go and create a ticket about that, and we'll discuss it further at another meeting.
And the new system has a couple of other features that we might use for this purpose, like it can host static websites that can be managed through pull requests to update content in a fashion that makes it easier to review and stuff like that. None of that is set up yet because nobody's actually asked for it so far, but some of the stuff that we do as the member of the board where we're like, you know, we have new information, we want to, you know, cumulatively update that while also maintaining all the history and authorship and being able to see, you know, what and why and all those things. And also just having a more consistent, discoverable place to find all this stuff. Like, some of the issues that we had is some of it that Richard did in fact document, but we couldn't find it because finding where it was, wikis are hard. Wikis are very hard. So some of this is also going to, I think, we'll try to bring it together into a more discoverable place. Maybe it's just markdown files in the board repo that we have. Maybe it'll be a doc site or something like that that we have set in the board project or something. I don't know yet, but there's a couple of options of like, how do we want to make this a little bit more discoverable?
Anyway, we now have a ticket for that. It's in all the chats.
Yeah, and Richard,
I guess maybe something that would be useful in that ticket is if you see us talking about this and you think you could possibly like to be a candidate in the next election and there's stuff you're not sure about, add stuff to the ticket so that we know, to help us know what to address.
Goodness knows that I was confused when I started trying to figure out what I was supposed to do. I think Simon and I had a couple of hours of conversation about this before I even, like, you know, threw up my candidacy because I just didn't know what I could even do. That's probably a
yes,
good idea.
And on that point, also feel free to just ask current members of the board. We're mostly a friendly bunch. We mostly don't bite. We'll
like
mostly talk to you about it in a reasonable way.
Mostly qualifier.
We mostly mock each other and not people that come to us.
Yeah, as like Simon does on apparently a regular basis to me.
Yeah, I should mention Richard actually did hand over a fair bit of knowledge and information to me. So he put great effort into that, which was very valuable. I think it's the sometimes it was the easy things that you know, the more day-to-day things that nobody thinks about because you're on the board for a couple of years and everything for you is very natural, that this is how we do it, right? And so some of those I had to discover, and I'm sure, and that's a natural process for everyone in a new role. I mean, that just is natural for every new board member, and it would always be, but how can we make it more, I mean, how can we, in the light of succession, how can we document things, so even some of the easier, you know, how do you just, we change the board meeting, the time of the board meeting, how do we change a reminder email? Because there is actually a rather clever system. And I think one of the heroes, probably Christian, helped me with that. And once you know it, it's easy. But if there is an email you get and you don't know where it's coming from, then
you, I mean, say it's more easy, but many boards have struggled many times with that ticket.
Now it's documented. I documented, and now it's really simple. So it's that kind of thing. I mean, and that's not critical for an OpenSUSE project, but yeah, really some of the best practices. it's more transparent for others. So I think it's good to onboard new board members. It increases transparency, which is a good thing by itself. And also if you write it down, that's actually something then you can work with, because maybe you realize, or a new board realizes, we want to handle it differently. But if it's written, then it's something that's more tangible. And then you can explicitly tackle that. So, but you're all
right. I think that we have to thank Simon first. He needs to go to bed.
Yeah.
You just wrote that.
Yeah, I'll go to bed eventually. Not quite yet, but
okay.
Sometime in the next 10 or 15 minutes.
Okay.
Do we have any questions left?
I'm not sure.
I don't think so.
What's your time now, Simon?
It doesn't look like any questions.
That's a great question. It's 10 past 11 at night.
So that's the time that your kids would now go out, right?
Yeah, they're not quite old enough yet. But I do have to get up at 6.
Okay, that's another thing.
It's Sunday tomorrow, come on.
What are you doing on Sunday?
At 6. I mean, going for a run could be one thing, at least at our temperatures at the moment. But yeah, I don't think this is the thing.
Temperatures are raining, but no. I'm getting up and operating some cameras for a church.
Good work.
I guess I'll probably try to close out at least some portions. The one thing I do want to say, I want to thank you all for, you know, participating with the with this. You know, this happens every year, and I think the community looks forward to it. I also want to thank all our sponsors that, you know, have participated in one big thing that's like happening here, and is the video team, and they're doing incredible work, and they do every year. So, you know, a lot of appreciation goes out to their efforts.
Absolutely.
So,
shout out to them.
Big thanks up.
Definitely. And you know, actually, I didn't explicitly mention the video team. I think we have volunteers that help moderate the sessions. So beyond those specific cases I mentioned, it's just amazing. There's a lot of work going in an event like this. And I mean, Doug, you know, because you're the guy who actually pulls and holds it together. Talking about succession plan or backup plan, we need to dump your brain at one point or clone you.
It gets inventoryized, right?
We'll freeze my brain or something.
We'll put you into a robot. That way, you know, you can.
You don't have to sleep anymore.
Yeah, maybe then we can share Doug with Fedora. Half of the day he does OpenSUSE, half of the day Fedora. I'll check with Ben.
I think I want to keep Doug for OpenSUSE. He's like our secret sauce here.
So you're not too much. You're not completely into sharing. I'm sensing some.
I like Doug too much. I don't want him to burn out with both.
Yeah, one is enough. That's true. Good. Thanks, everyone.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Doug. Thank you, guys. Thank you, everybody that was here.
Yeah, thank you all for this great event, and thank you all for coming as well.
I should turn my mic on when I talk, but I was going to say I won't be one of them because I'm going to go sleep, but I expect there will probably be more board members in the bar on Jitsi for most of the rest of the afternoon if you want to talk to people, and I'll put that link in the chat somewhere.
Okay.
Good idea. All right. Thanks, everyone. It looks like we're going to take a break. take it offline. So
okay, where do we go?